You're on The Burt Show.
I think we're going to have parents who have kids older than Hayden weigh in on this.
And like, how old is Hayden now? I remember. 6, 7? What is he?
Six.
And
which we still have to address your age issues with your son, but different time. I met some people who have a daughter who I'm guessing is probably 14 or 15. Like, she's definitely high school age. I can't tell if she's a freshman or senior, though, but she's in high school. And she has a computer in her room. And so they see all, or I guess last year, you know, saw the news stories about all the stuff that happens on Facebook and MySpace and instant messaging and emailing, you know, nasty pictures around and all the crap that can happen. So they had the debate, like, what do we do about the computer? She's a good student, never had any problems. She does work on the computer. It's in her room, so we don't want to take it out of the room and kind of discourage her from going in there and doing homework. But, you know, what if she just makes a stupid mistake and emails a picture of her boobs to some boy who shows it to everybody in high school, and then, you know, for the rest of her life, she's the girl who showed her boobs to the whole high school, you know?
Right.
So they came up with the idea. He works in computers, so I don't know if this is something you can just go to, like, Best Buy and purchase, or if you have to have some knowledge of computers, but they have a setup where they can sit in their living room and watch what she's doing on her computer in real time on their laptop.
So it's not a video camera in her room.
No.
It's a duplication of what's going on
her screen.
Wow.
You've seen this from time to time. Like, engineers, computer engineers can do this. If you call, like, tech support, you can give them a code, and they just take over your computer. And you could sit in front of it, and you're just watching your cursor go all over the place, and it go from page to page, and you're hands-free.
They can do it. I know they can do it in our building. Like, they can do any one of the computers that are on our network, because I've had to go in there and ask them to reset something, and they're just like, okay, which one is it? And they'll, because how many monitors do we have in here? 10?
Something like that.
Yeah, so I'll go into engineering and go, hey, my computer's, you know, hung up on trying to print something. And they'll go, okay, which one is it? And they'll bring up every screen, each one of you guys, what you're looking at, and page through each one and go, that's not it, that's not it, that's not it. That's Bert's. That's, I like what he's looking at. Okay, that's not it.
And you have to know it's a company computer, so they have full access. Mm-hmm.
Whatever
that job.
Whatever that technology is,
they got it.
This dude has it in his house.
So he's in the living room, or he has it in his own room, and he can watch his daughter's computer?
They said it's on their laptop, so I'm assuming even if they're out of town, even if he's at work, whatever, they can log in, do something, and they watch it. And they made the decision that by doing that, they can, if they see instant messenger conversation going in the wrong direction, you know what I mean? Then they can intervene without ever telling her that they know.
If they're strong enough to be able to do that without intervening immediately.
Right.
Because I think it's a great idea, but I don't think many parents have the stamina to be able to handle what they see.
There's such a fine line here now. Like, if you would have brought this up a year ago, I think I probably would have said something to the effect of, look, if your kid's a good kid and you trust your kid and you've already told them all of this and you've taught them and you're confident in what you've taught them, then you can't look over their shoulder all the time. They can't feel like they're in a prison. But man, based on what we've heard from teenagers over the last couple of months on this show, it sounds to me like a lot of these are the good kids, you know, like, and if you're not constantly checking on them, and you're not constantly looking in their email or checking at their Facebook, then by the time they go down this road and they start doing stuff like that, it's too late.
See, but I don't think that this daughter has given them any reason not to trust her.
Well, that's what some parents were calling up to say weeks ago, is that you shouldn't need that. You shouldn't need that proof that you should be looking anyway.
I guess I just feel like when she finds out, because she will find out, I agree with Melissa that few parents could pull it off. And when she does find out, she's going to have this broken trust from them.
Their argument or their statement was, I was like, isn't that kind of shady or whatever? And their argument was basically that back in the day, their parents, you know, my friend's parents would look at like the diaries or the journals, or like, you know,
I don't agree with that either.
A boy writes you a note in class.
I disagree with the journal, because the journal is a private thing. I can see the internet concern, because you're actually interacting with other people and potentially could get in trouble, where you can't get in trouble in your diary. Because we've talked about that before. How much would you snoop on your child? And my boundary would be the journal. Let them write whatever they want to write to themselves and get it out of their system. But I wouldn't go in there and break that trust. But I would be tempted to do this. At this age.
Couldn't they...
16 and 17, no. But at 14 and 15, yes.
Well, let me take a call here. I think the real question here is this, as a parent, is this a breach of trust or is this something that you have to do? Even if you have a quote-unquote good kid, do you still have to be looking over their shoulder all the time? Hey, Julie, you're on the Voice Disguiser.
Hi. First of all, I just wanted to comment to the software. It is a software that anybody out there can get and have installed. It has to be installed on both computers. I had it in order to work from home so that I could, you know, work with my boss. And the other side of the coin is I have one of those kids who everybody thinks is the perfect kid. And we've caught her doing things over her cell phone. We've monitored her MySpace. We've deleted it 1,000 times. She signs up under a different name and keeps going. And so monitoring, I think, is wonderful. I do. But you're just not going to catch it all, and you can't stop it.
But you shut down. I mean, she found out what you were doing.
So she started opening up other MySpace accounts. This prevents that, though. If you can sit there and look.
This is what I said, though. I don't know a parent that could look and not try to do something too extreme.
Yeah, I think we're concentrating too much on the computer aspect and the software aspect of it, when the real question is, should you constantly be looking over your kid's shoulder in every way, shape, and form, even if they haven't given you a reason to?
My inclination, I think this is perfect because, you know, and save your emails. I'm not a parent. I know that. But like she was saying, like your kid will just knock out a new Facebook page, a new MySpace page, a new Twitter feed, whatever, once you figure out what's going on one of them if you don't like it. This allows the parent to keep an eye, like, to know everything. I mean, it's a violation of trust, but...
I think it's a huge violation.
You also don't want your kids' boobs all over the high school.
Here's Valerie. She wants to represent teenagers on this. Go ahead, Valerie.
Hi.
Hey.
I personally feel that this is a complete violation of trust for parents to watch what their kids do on the internet. I mean, there's absolutely no trust in there. I feel if you raise your child correctly, then you shouldn't have to be over their shoulder all the time. You shouldn't have to always be watching what they're doing. Like, you should trust what you instilled in them.
What age do you think that, as a teenager, you're an adult and the parent no longer needs to parent you?
About 16.
Okay. Because I agree with that. I agree. 16, 17, 18, they're starting to work and they're starting to kind of get their feet wet on how life is. But at 13 and 14, I do still think that they need parenting.
Hey, Valerie, I want to put you on with this guy named John. I think he's a parent and he has the total opposite opinion you do. He thinks that it's a good thing to do that.
Okay.
Hey, John, go ahead.
Yeah, what I think, I think the parents are doing the right thing. I don't think they're doing the right thing in terms of not telling their child. I think they should treat it more like companies do with employees. Say, hey, especially if they're letting them have the computer in their room, say, we're going to go ahead and monitor what you're doing. This computer is just for work, and maybe if they wanted to keep up with their friends on Facebook or something, that's fine. But, you know, inappropriate is out of bounds. And like I heard someone else just say, if once they're 16, 18, I mean, you're going to have to kind of let the reins go if they're going to go out and do some things and they're going to do it. But in an early race like that, then you need to go ahead and keep that monitored.
And you're starting to break that. Valerie, if your parents told you that the computer you were using in the house was just for school?
Have they?
No,
if they did.
If they did, wouldn't you just find other ways to, or some of your other friends, wouldn't you just find other ways to sort of do what you wanted?
Yes, I would. And actually, John, I think your idea was actually a better one. Like, if you do monitor what they do, like, tell them. Like, they won't go on bad things. They won't do bad things on the internet, especially with the knowledge that they're watching. But they will probably find another outlet to do other things.
They'll go to another computer and do it.
Or go to their phone. Like,
do
your parents check your phone every day?
No, they don't. They don't check my phone at all.
Have they told you that would be something that they would do, so you sort of...
No, never.
Okay.
There's also the chance that I think parents might not... Like, you may have just said, what do you mean check your phone? There's probably a good number of parents who don't have any idea that there is a web browser on their telephone, on a kid's telephone. Like, I said that to... I mean, I know my parents are older than a teenager's parents, but I said... to my dad. I'm like, well, why don't you just on your phone? He was looking for a phone number, an address, or so. He called me and said, hey, are you near your computer? Can you Google something for me? I'm like, why don't you just do it from your phone? He's like, Google on my phone? And I'm like, you know what? I'll do it because I don't have 4 hours to explain to you how to access it. But like, so a lot of parents aren't even going to realize that you have a web browser in your pocket.
Hey, AJ, go ahead. You're on Q100.
Good morning, guys.
Hey.
Good morning. I am a parent of a 10 and 12-year-old. But I was once a child that was a good kid, but I was raised, and I will raise my children the very same way. You live under my roof, you follow my rules, and I will do as I feel I'm necessary to make sure that you are safe in any way, shape, form, or fashion. Period, the end. Once you move out, you can do anything you choose.
So you would tell them that you put the software on there?
I will.
Yeah.
I'll be glad to tell them. My mother was very upfront and honest with me. I know where you are. You best know that I will check up on you. You'll never know when I check up on you. And she did it one time and caught me.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, like I said, and that other caller, the kid that called that said you need to trust your kids, you raise them and you do the very best that you can. You teach them all that you know is right, but they're still going to be kids. They're still going to do what they want to do. They're still going to say, but what if I do this just one time? They've got a curiosity of them. They're going to do it. You, as a parent, were given this child to raise and to protect. If you don't protect them, you're not doing your job.
Have you said
plain and simple.
Have you said if you would do this for Hayden or not?
Yeah. I really don't know, man. I mean, because at this point, when I'm listening to this conversation, I'm so relieved we're not there yet, but I know it's right around the corner.
It'll get there before you know it.
I know, and I'm sort of a hard ass in the house, and Stacey is sort of soft with Hayden. So I think if there's going to be this kind of checking going on, it's probably going to be from me. This isn't naturally me to be this kind of controlling and check all the time. So I don't know. I really have no idea.
If you're
my
the
husband
one
and I were raised totally separate ways. My mama was a hard ass, and his mama was, you know, if you're not going to be home, just call me. It's okay. And so we've had to come to, he had to come to my side of the road because he realized I'm not going to give in. These are my kids. I'm not going to have anything happen to them if as long as I can help it.
Well, a lot of times, too, parents raise daughters and sons differently. You know, my brother didn't have a curfew, but my sister and I did. You know,
but
so
mine will be.
My inner parent sounds a lot like AJ.
Because what she was saying sounds a lot like your theory on spanking.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're spanking properly, you only spank them 3 times in their whole life. Because that's what they remember it and it carries on. So all you really have to do is keep an eye on his email once and then bring up something and go, hey, I just want to let you know I looked in your email and I know that blah, 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 blah. And he's going to be so conscious of that forever.
I think this also goes back to a conversation we've had before about parents. Some of them try so hard to be friends with their kids. And for me, once you do that, you've lost your ability to lead.
You're
an authority figure in that house.
That's what I'm sitting here thinking about is the fact that, and that's one of the reasons that I have problems with timeout, because I feel like you're negotiating with your child. It is no negotiation. I am the parent. You are the child. That is how it is. But that last parent, my parents, there was no negotiating.
No.
There was no, like, if they wanted to look through something, they looked through it. If they wanted to spank me, they spanked me. I had no power.
Right.
You know, and I think, you know, what teenagers and I didn't understand is that, your parents actually do have your best interest at heart, but you're still going to be a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess there's got to be a balance. But this whole, I don't want to make my kid mad. And, I want to negotiate with my kid. Then you're a weak parent to me.
Jen, you have a 13-year-old right now. What are you doing? Are you checking all that stuff?
I'm checking all that stuff, but I'm telling the 13-year-old I'm checking it.
You are.
That's the smartest thing to do.
Maybe so.
I like the
I'm saying I've got, you know, spyware, whatever it is, everything to check on your phone, on your computer, whatever. But just know that I'm there and I'm looking for it or whatever. And having those open conversations or whatever and building trust. Like, I, as a parent, eventually someday, I want to be able to build that where my kids are not afraid to come to me. Because there were some things with my parents, because my dad was so strict, I was afraid to talk to them about. And so, in that being afraid, I made a lot of mistakes because of that. You know what I mean? I want to be able to talk to my kids and have them feel like they're not going to get in trouble for sharing their life with me.
Right.
That caller who said, I'm going to check up on you, you're not going to know when and where, but I'm going to do it. That would have been enough to keep me more in line.
Probably.
You're on The Burt Show.
Here's what we're trying to get at here. Now, generally, I think for the most part, We're all pretty nosy people.
Oh, without a doubt.
Curious. You call curious. I say nosy.
Well, if you're being polite, we're not nosy. We're just interested. But the reality is everybody likes gossip because it makes them feel better about themselves.
Here's what we're looking for. If there's something going on in your office.
Whoa.
Could be a friend of a friend of a friend. And like Jeff said, there's some gossip going on.
Mm-hmm.
You would just like to know. It's not going to make your life any better. Not going to make your life any worse. Damn, you're just curious. You're just curious and you want answers and you're too much of a coward to actually pursue it yourself. Plus, it's probably too superficial of a thing for you to go ahead and pursue, but you would sure like to know.
One of the things that started this was Jeff had mentioned yesterday about the fact that he had left his wedding ring at the lake and he hasn't worn it for a long time. And I noticed that. And I noticed when Jessica came in to do Jessica's shop, she didn't have her wedding
Melissa's
ring on.
Melissa's been waiting for me to be available since
the
day we met.
I've been staring at
every day she's hoping that that left hand is naked as a baby.
See ya, Katie. Hello, Jeffrey. So,
send it to me as a ringtone.
So I've been staring at Jeff's ring finger. But no, there was one day that I pulled Bert aside in the hallway and I said, have you noticed that Jeff doesn't have his ring on? So instead of going directly to Jeff and saying, I've noticed you don't have your wedding ring on, is everything okay? I went to Bert and I said, have you noticed? And Bert hadn't noticed. So we talked about it in the hallway before, you know, and I never even approached Jeff about it. So in this case, I would call the Bert show and say, hey, you know what? There's this dude at the office. He doesn't have his wedding ring on. I just want to find out if anything is wrong.
Right.
And we would be the one to call him.
And in a case like this, I could go directly to Jeff. But you don't have that person. We're going to provide that person for you. It's going to be in the form of producer Tracy. You'll call us. You'll say, look, there's a guy in the office or a woman in the office or someone down the street. Neighbors. That's probably going to be the biggest hit. You got to know something. There's always rumors about neighbors, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you want proof of what's going on. You supply us some information. We'll get producer Tracy on the case. Within 24 hours, we will call that person. We won't tell them who is pursuing this lead, who is curious. Mm-hmm. They will never know it's you. But we'll get the answers for you and we'll tell you on the air.
Like I have one about a really beautiful woman who's social around town. A lot of people know who she is and she's just got like the most perfect skin. And I am dying to know if she gets Juvederm or Botox.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. Whatever. She's still beautiful. I want to know, is she getting injections in her skin or not?
404-741-Q100. About 6 months ago. There was one of these huge homes down the street from us. There's our homes, which aren't huge, and then there are the crazy big ones like Pace's Ferry Big. And there was somebody had handcrafted like what seemed to me like a 30 by 50 sign. And in paint wrote very in an amateur way, it just said, welcome back on it. And that was it. And I drove by that house for about a week wondering, I really want to know the story. Who's coming home? Was it somebody in the military?
Yeah.
The house is that big, you should have just pulled in like it was you they were waiting for.
Right. Hey,
it's going to be here.
Surprise!
Which floor do you want me to live on?
Jill wants to be on The Voice Disguiser. And again, let me make this perfectly clear that you're not going to be the one pursuing the facts here. You're just going to tell us.
Mm-hmm.
We'll put you on hold. We'll put you on with producer Tracy. She'll do the fact finding. And with any luck at all, we'll get answers for you within 24 or 48.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Jill. You're on The Voice Disguiser.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Yes, thanks.
You don't have to feel bad about this. You don't have to feel sheepish.
Okay.
Because we're all nosy.
So I have this coworker, and for the past few months, I've noticed that he's the first one to come in the morning and the last one to leave at night. And I've just always wondered about him. And then I've started to also notice that sometimes in the morning when I would show up, like his hair would be wet, like he just got out of the shower. It didn't seem like there was enough time. It seemed like it dried. It wouldn't dry as fast as it should if he was driving to work or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then I noticed also that we have a gym downstairs and he would be down there, but he's kind of an overweight kind of guy and it doesn't seem to be doing much. So I wonder if maybe he's just showering down there and then coming to work and not really using the gym.
Do you think he's living at the office?
Yeah, do you think he's homeless?
I don't know. Like, it seems like that's what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And I did also notice, I just feel so weird. I'm not following him or anything, but we have a small parking lot, and I walked by his car, and there was, you know, a bunch of stuff in there, like, you know, clothes and shoes kind of strewn about, and it just seems like, you know, all the things kind of add up to, like, I just wonder what's going on.
He didn't
like,
have a place to go.
You want to know his story. It's a little bit like, Jen, you remember a long time ago, you would pass this woman on the street every day before you came to work.
Mm-hmm.
You just wanted to know her story.
Yeah, because she was standing at the MARTA stop every day when I left, and it was, you know, it was really consistent. So in my mind, I had sort of like made up what her life story was. I can't remember her name right now.
Yeah.
To save my life. Oh, that's going to bug me. But anyway, but yeah, it would be the same. It would be the same kind of thing, just the curiosity thing.
And then we actually pursued her. We got her on the phone with us just to find out what her story was. Yeah,
I think I told you guys years ago when I worked at this radio station in Syracuse. There was a guy who moved into the prize closet.
Oh, yeah, you did tell us that.
And he would use old station T-shirts. He would make a bed. And the only reason we knew
I worked with a guy who lived in our station vehicle for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, and the only reason we knew it is we came by late at night from drinking. Me and a buddy of mine, you know, came by, walked to the radio station because you're going to sleep for a couple hours before driving home from the bar. We walk in, and there's like a light on in the prize closet. Like, oh, damn, I left the light on. And we open the door, and dude is in there with a little portable TV.
He's got his little station T-shirts all knitted together as his blanket.
A quilt. What are you doing?
Now, Jill, are you curious about this because this is something that you would like to help out with, or are you just simply want to know the story?
Curious.
And one is fine.
Well, also, I'm worried about him. You know, I want to make sure that he's okay, but also it just strikes me as odd and wondering what his story is. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is perfect.
Yeah.
This is a great one to start with. Let me put you on hold right now, okay?
Now, will he come on with us, Bert, or does Tracy just talk to him?
I don't think we can get him on. I mean,
I think Tracy should just talk. I mean, if I think we want to get the story, it'll have to be off air.
Yeah, because
right?
A guy like
That's
this.
Not fair, especially.
He didn't sign up for it. And if it is the worst case scenario, he doesn't want. Yeah.
He doesn't want to admit to being homeless. Right.
So what we can do is we can get you on. Unless the guy like or woman volunteers for it, then sure. But I think as we're talking about it.
Unless it's a case of which, let's say he was married and got divorced, she kicked him out and he's mad and wants to talk about it.
Yeah, then we're good. Then we're solid, sure.
Right.
All right, Jill, let me put you on hold and we'll try to get some answers for you within the next 24.
Okay, great.
All right, hold on. All right, we got a couple. Maybe we'll fish all day today and come back with something. Good morning, Molly. You haven't asked for it, but I'll go ahead and I'll put you on the voice disguiser.
Sounds good.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, about a couple years ago, I had a friend who got married. We were friends for shortly right before she got married, so we weren't really good friends. And we went to the wedding, and beautiful wedding. And about a month or two later, my friend called me and said that she had looked at this girl's Facebook page. I don't have Facebook. I think it's evil. so I never was able to look at the page to see what was going on. But it said her status was single, and obviously, we had just attended her wedding not long before, and then about another month later, her, I guess, ex-husband moved into our condo complex, and, you know, we would see him around, and we never saw her. So, obviously, they only made it like a month or two, and I never found out what happened. I mean, I never talked to her after the wedding. I never found out what happened to her.
Now, do you have enough details where we could track this person down and ask the questions?
Oh, I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So you just want to know what happened? Why did they get divorced so fast?
Yeah, I mean, it was somewhere between a month and probably 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
I mean, something big must have happened to happen that quickly.
You know what?
Somebody found out something after the wedding.
I've realized the nature of a lot of the questions that we're asking. It's almost like a lot of these are going to come in and they're going to be like petty questions where if somebody responds with, none of your business. Why are you concerned with my business? Like, then you feel foolish for asking it. Mm-hmm. Like, that's kind of the nature of these questions. But you know what?
I'm curious.
It's like reality TV has made us all voyeurs.
Well, she's a little mad because she gave, you know, bought a wedding gift.
Right. She wants that cash back.
Yes.
All right, Molly, let me put you on hold. We'll have somebody call you later on. We'll get as many details as we can, and we'll try to pursue that and find out what happened.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Okay, hold on. Let's take one more. I like this. Good morning, Kelly. You are on the voice disguiser.
Hey. Good morning.
Good
I love
morning.
You guys. I love you. I just wanted to say that.
Thank you. Thanks for calling.
Okay. My dilemma is I graduate Saturday, and a fellow classmate who hasn't been going to school normally is now wearing a gold tassel in her graduation picture.
I'm confronting
the teachers, and they say, well, we don't know. Excuse me. And me and another fellow classmate have the honor roll program, and her name in our program is not in it.
Are you graduating?
Huh?
I was going to say, are you graduating with honors?
No.
But she is.
Yes. And I know this sounds kind of selfish and conceited, but I know for a fact I make better grades than her.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's I'm curious because you said it was just in her picture that she has the tassel on, because I wonder if she really is going to graduate with honors, or she just, you know, got that on for the picture.
That's exactly what I want to know.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, if she did get the gold thing and is graduating with honors, how do you think she got it?
Can I say this on the radio?
Only if you handle it delicately. You can say anything, so long as it's in PG-13 terms.
She's the face of our program, so they boosted her grade.
You think it's because she's pretty?
Not so much pretty.
Slutty?
But what do you mean the face of your program? Like, is she on the cover of the graduation program, or like...
No. For our program, she's
that
like...
she's graduating the, with, like, the program she's in.
The broadcast spokesman. She's always the one that's seen as my program, the program we're in. Instead of everybody as a group, it's her.
She's the example.
She's like the representative of your school.
So they have to make sure that she looks good or the whole class looks bad.
Yeah, I'm curious if she really is, because a lot of times you can, I've seen it, that you can go into that photography studio and put on whatever, because the photographer doesn't know whether you... or graduating with honors.
But then also, weren't you guys sometimes surprised at who was graduating, like summa cum laude or whatever they were? Like, you're like, what? That person's that smart? Because some people, it just comes easier.
Hey, Kelly, let me put you on hold. We need to get some more information from you, and then we'll try to make these calls later today. And with any luck at all, we'll get some answers for you over the next 24.
Thanks.
Okay, one more. I figure the more we take, the better chance we have of getting
an answer.
Results for over the next day or so.
This radio segment is becoming quite pleasing to me.
I like it. Hey, Jack, can you turn your radio down?
Yes.
Thank you, sir. You are on the Voice Disguiser. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning. I'm calling about a coworker of mine, a fellow coworker, who actually has to pay for something rather large, and she won't mention to us what it is. She actually mentions it all the time about that she has to pay for this really expensive thing. She always needs, like, more money and stuff, but she always mentions it but never tells us what it is.
And you guys have straight up right to her face said, well, what is it? And she said, well, I really...
we've told her many times. We're like, well, what is it? What do you have to pay for? I mean, maybe we could help you out or something. But, you know, she's just, oh, no, never mind. I don't want to tell you.
Huh. So is she going around the...
considering, like, DUIs or, like, some kind of parking ticket or other stuff, but... we never really know.
Is she going around the office asking you guys for money, or is she just hinting that she needs a raise and more hours?
She's just hinting that she needs more hours. She's been calling about more hours all the time, talking to, like, our boss and supervisor about that she needs more time, and like, she's taking other shifts up, and it's just really, really sketchy.
So is your hunch that she's just asking for more hours just so she can have extra cash, and there's really not anything big that she needs to buy?
Well, I mean, she's always, like, said to us that she has to pay for something, that she has to pay for something specific, but she won't tell us because it's so huge. I mean...
you just want to know what it is.
She's going as far as egg donation because she needs that money.
Oh, wow. Okay.
What do you think it is?
We considered DUIs at first, but we've moved on to something pretty, like, bigger than that, like arson or something, like... We don't know. It's just really weird.
I think what we're going to find in most of these cases, and Jack, let me go ahead and put you on hold, and we'll get some more info, and we'll try to get you some answers, so don't hang up, okay?
Sure, of course.
I think in most cases what we might find with this whole segment is that the rumor has blown so out of proportion that the reality of it is so small that the stories might be disappointing when we find out the truth.
She wants to put in a pool.
She needs a new roof. Shingles blew off in the last storm, but she really wants to get it done while the summer's here before rains come again.
It's going to make the nosy person feel really bad about it, like if she's paying for her mother's medical bills.
Oh.
Right.
You know, something like that. Like,
This is guilt-free, though, because they'll never know it's you. Nobody knows it's you. Sure. We're doing all the dirty work for you.
Right.
So we got four pretty compelling stories that producer Tracy will work on today, and we'll see what we can come up with tomorrow.
Listen, it's the Burt Show.
I can tell you right now that Melissa and I are on such a different point of reference here.
Okay.
For this Mark Malkoff dude. This is a guy we were talking about a couple days ago. Melissa and I don't like to fly.
Hell no. Yeah.
Wow.
She got a hell no.
Yeah, because I have been to L.A. twice in the past, two or three weeks, and it took so much energy out of me to just in the thinking that I'm flying four times across the country in a matter of a few weeks, because I cannot stand to fly. I have to take medication in order to get through the flight.
I don't like it either. So this guy Mark here that is trying to break the Guinness Book of World Records for continuous commercial flight. Started in Atlanta, I think, last week. And he's still on that flight right now. We're going to talk to him. Hey, Mark.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Sure, man. Oh, good morning.
Honey.
Good morning.
Dude, how many days are we into this ridiculous project now?
Dear goodness, today's day 9. I have 21 more days to go. And I should mention, I'm doing this to get over my fear of flying. I came up with the idea about a year and a half ago, and AirTran has been awesome to host me. I live on the plane. I sleep on the plane at night. I wake up in the morning. I wash my hair in the airplane bathroom in the morning. I jog to get some exercise in the aisles in the morning. This is my existence.
Are you with the same flight crew all the time? Like, are you becoming BFFs with the flight attendants?
I am getting to know a lot of the flight attendants, but they change over. We try to keep me on the plane as much as possible. Once in a while, I do have to go on a tarmac to switch planes, but I never go into the airports. I sleep on the plane. My entire existence is pretty much in an airplane, and we're going all over the country. But most nights, I wind up back here in beautiful Atlanta, which I love.
So when, at nighttime, I got so many questions. At nighttime, do you still crash? I shouldn't say crash. Do you sleep? That was bad. But not intentional. Do you sleep on the plane, or do you go into the terminal and sleep there?
No, I sleep on the plane in row 22, of course. And what I do is there's about three lines of chairs, and I'll just lay on those. And about 2 o'clock in the morning, I usually wake up when the cleaning crew is vacuuming around me.
So how many hours during a day are you in the air?
We do, like, usually 5-6 flights a day. Last week we logged, I believe, around 67, 68 hours. If you add up all the distance, we went around the world 1.24 times. We're trying to just do as much as possible. And I have to say, flying on AirTran around has really, really helped me deal with the fear, because I have no other choice but to deal with it. And the pilots have really counseled me. And AirTran has Wi-Fi, so I'm up in the sky 35,000 feet. And just with Twitter and MySpace, the whole community has been very supportive, giving me tips on how to get over my fear. I'm able to stay connected to my wife, Christine. And I should mention, my wife, Christine, flies with me on the weekends to see me. And AirTran actually had an anniversary dinner for me. My anniversary was this week on the wing of a plane. Luckily, it wasn't moving at the time.
Now, when you first approached AirTran with this idea, did they think you were crazy? How did that conversation go?
AirTran was a huge fan of my previous work. I've done a bunch of big videos. And it just seemed like a really good fit. I mean, I really wanted to do this. They have an awesome sense of humor. Most airlines would not let somebody clearly do this, but they've given me complete creative control. I'm shooting tons of video content. If you go to markonairtran.com, you can see all the videos. You can see me playing bingo with passengers on a flight. We did Twister the other day. We actually had a flight attendant wash my hair mid-flight.
So does this mean that you're not showering for a month straight?
That's right. I mean, you can actually come here to the airplane and smell me. I smell great.
No,
I wash my hair in the sink. I use baby wipes. And it's just been an amazing experience. And please, to your listeners, I'm on Twitter. Please, during my flight, Twitter me. I'm M. Malkoff. It's M-M-A-L-K-O-F-F. It's really the online community is helping me get through these next 21 days.
Are there people sitting next to you on the plane?
Absolutely, 100%.
Oh, that's got to be rough.
Has anybody complained? Has anybody said this dude reeks? I need to be in row 19, not 22 with this dude?
Not yet. If anything, people want to meet me and ask why. And so many people have fears of flying. I mean, the thing is with me is turbulence. I don't like turbulence, and I don't take off. So a lot of people have been talking to me, and a lot of people say it's actually helped them, because if I can do a month with the fear of flying, they can get through a flight. So it's really, really been great on a bunch of different levels.
Now, is it healthy for you to be on this plane this long? Because we've heard so many stories about how you need to...
Melissa's okay, just looking for excuses
seriously,
not doing it.
I mean, talking about flights like overseas and stuff, people are worried about if you're in a plane too long, the effects it could have on your body.
Here's the deal. I talked to my doctor in New York. My doctor told me there was no problem, so I'm going to get a new doctor. here's the deal. There has to be something. I mean, I talked to a bunch of other doctors. They said, Mark, you need to be exercising. So I'm doing a lot of jogging in between flights in the aisle. I'm doing lunges. I'm doing push-ups. The one thing that people have told me is that if you're up in an airplane a lot, it's higher traces of radiation. So maybe that's it. But, I mean, I'm taking a lot of vitamins. My food is coming primarily from the airport. So I'm trying to eat as much fruit and vegetables as possible, but I have to say, surprisingly, I feel really good.
You understand the words just came out of your mouth, right? That just now. You said, outside of the radiation, this has been a great experience.
If I get off the plane on June 30th, I'm entirely green. We know the radiation thing was a problem.
Are you eating nothing but airline food?
No, I mean, the AirTrans snacks are great, and I'll eat them occasionally, but primarily my food is coming from airports. So if you guys come visit me in Atlanta, please bring me some salads, bring me some fruit. I'll take a frappuccino, whatever you guys want to bring me.
Wow. I'm curious, if you're over the fear of flying at this point, why keep going another 21 days?
I'm not, because it gets better, but then I hit some turbulence coming back from Seattle, and I just start shaking. And I actually had a kid that was sitting next to me see that I was afraid and started holding my hand. And
it felt so cool. That's so sweet.
The deal is, it's an irrational fear. It's not a real fear. I know that. And I really feel like, just with the online support, talking to pilots and dealing with this and having no choice but to face my fear, that by the end, by June 30th, I'll be over it.
Can I ask this dude a guy question?
Anything.
Okay.
Without you guys getting totally offended. All right, so you're on this thing for how long? 30 days total?
Yes.
And your wife is visiting you on weekends.
That's right.
So when the plane clears out?
There's no time. There's no time. Without getting specific, Christine can't stay on the plane with me at night. So, there's very alone time. So draw your own conclusions to that.
So there's very few minutes that you're actually alone with her, so you guys haven't done it on a plane.
I'm lonely. Put it that way.
Okay.
If you come on the flight, I might ask you to hold me.
If you smell that bad, if you haven't had a shower 17 days, no one's getting close to you.
I'm telling you, your listeners should fly with me and smell me. I smell amazing.
Are you, now you're going to be on the plane until the end of June. Are you concerned at all about the digital transition?
No, I'm not concerned at all. I'm told that I have to get going, but you guys should come on a flight with me. You have an open invite. And please look at my videos daily on Mark on AirTran. I love it, Lance. I'm here all the time, so I'd love to keep in touch with you guys.
When is your last day in flight?
June 30th is my last day. The first thing I'm going to do when I get off is kiss my wife. The second thing is shower.
Yeah,
shower a lot.
Yeah,
your wife would probably say shower first.
Can we just call AirTran a request to be on your flight?
Yeah, absolutely. Just do that. I'd love to see you guys. You guys have an open invite whenever.
Okay.
That'd be
nice talking to you guys. Thank you so much.
See you. Okay,
bye.
Good luck.
That would be kind of fun. That is your worst nightmare, Melissa.
Absolutely my worst nightmare.
I can't think anything fun about that.
And he's
at
doing
all.
It sober. Like, I can't get on a plane without my pill now.
You never know.
I'd fly with him somewhere. I just think it'd be fun to be, I don't know.
They have this little cocktail.
Part of that experience. Probably. I would like to do it the next day or two, because by June 30th, that'd be an issue.
I miss what airline is helping him out with that.
Did you figure it out?
Did you guys catch that? Do I have to call around to find out what airline is? All the information will be up online for that, dude, up at Q100Atlanta.com.
I say he should just jump out at 15,000 feet. That'll help you face your fears.
Javi's done it, so he's like, everybody can do it now.
Jump out of what? Is it AirTran plane?
Was it AirTran he's working on?
Oh, I didn't know that.
I think they have Wi-Fi. You guys know that?
Get it. The Bird Show.